Hello there, you're listening to Audacity, the Authentic Entrepreneur Podcast, especially for female founders. I'm your host, Claire Akers. In this space, you'll hear me talk about anything and everything you need to build an authentic and aligned business that's capable of changing the world. I'm a mum of three, entrepreneur and founder of two businesses so far, and an authenticity coach since 2007. Most importantly, I'm a cheerleader for those of you who have been brave and audacious enough to risk it all, follow your heart and build a business. So welcome to the Audacity Podcast. I'm so glad you're here and let's dive in to the episode. What would your 18-year-old self think of you? Would she be proud of all that you have achieved? Would she find you inspiring? Would she find what you've done inspiring? Would she be a little bit relieved that it all worked out in the end? And what advice would you give her? What would you say to her if you could? Today's conversation has been inspired by a real life conversation that I had with a client this morning. She came into the office, we sat down in the shed quarters, we had a coffee and a catch up. And today you and I are chatting about how your adolescent self is still running the show. She is still showing up for you when it comes, when it comes to your business, whether you know it and whether you like it or not. And of course, I'm not going to leave it there. I'm going to share what you can do about it if this conversation resonates and if the light bulbs are going off for you today. My name is Claire Akers. Hello if you are brand new to my world. Hello if you have been here for a while. I help female entrepreneurs, female leaders to break free of their imposter syndrome. I have got a mission. It is to change the economy. And yeah, let's go for it. Let's just change the world while we are at it by helping women grow values-led and aligned and authentic businesses, because that is how I believe we sort the world out, quite frankly. And what I do is I help women understand their own particular brand of imposter syndrome, because everybody's is different. And once you understand it, once you shine a light on it and how it is showing up and making you play small in your business, then of course you can break free. So I am super excited to share today's conversation with you. And this is absolutely hot off the press, as I say, sitting down with a lovely client this morning, catching up over coffee, and she had just come back from a school reunion, 30 years after leaving high school. I mean, could anything be more confronting? Could there be a more confronting situation to experience that brings up all your stuff, right? It is literally coming face to face with your 18-year-old self and how everybody remembers you, and you're right back there, aren't you? I mean, picture the scene. You have spent ages getting ready, doing your makeup nicely, covering up the grey roots, putting your makeup on so it covers up all the wrinkles, maybe pulling out a few chin hairs, depending on what you've got going on, picking a flattering outfit so people think you have aged well, maybe sucking in your tummy a little bit as you enter the room. And you see people, you spot people across the room, you're getting yourself a drink, you're doing the chit chat. And then the inevitable question comes. And the inevitable question is, so what do you do now? What do you do for work? What are you up to? And what they are really asking with this question is, did you fulfill your potential? And in my case, the question was being a bit of a swotty geek, did that work out for you? Was it worth it for you? But the real thing they want to know is, am I more successful than you? Where do we all fit in this success ladder? It's confronting, right? It is really, really confronting, because we all had big dreams. when we're a kid, no matter what it was, when the world was your oyster. And when you're 18, you have got the whole world at your feet. There's that perfect summer, isn't there? You finished A-levels, no matter what you got, you know, it's done. There are no real responsibilities in front of you. You've got a university or, you know, whatever it is that you're going on to do in front of you. But you've got this one perfect summer where everything is a possibility. You're on the cusp of adulthood and you're just kind of a bundle of limitless potential. But this reunion is a chance to find out, isn't it? It's a chance to find out, did those dreams materialize for you? Did you make it happen? Or did reality get in the way a little bit? And did you start to settle, to tolerate, to temper those dreams a little bit? Or did you have an epiphany? Did you realize that you had in fact been chasing the wrong thing and instead chose to refocus your life and achieve something even better? So here's a story. Not quite 18, but when I was 11, I was learning to play the guitar. And this particular thing happened at our leavers assembly. So from going from primary school up to secondary, and we had a leavers assembly where the class was there, year six class was there, the whole school was watching this leavers assembly, and all the parents had been invited to come and watch as well. And I had written a couple of songs. I'd written some lyrics and I had adapted a tune and written a couple of songs. One of the songs was called Cruel High School. That was the kind of vibe we're after. It was kind of this pseudo blues monstrosity. I can't remember the other one, but yeah, there were these two songs I'd written the lyrics and music for. And somehow, I don't know how, but the teacher had got hold of these songs. It was probably my mum that passed them on. I don't know how, but the whole of the guitar class ended up playing the song. Imagine us all sitting there in assembly on those wooden benches, strumming along. And the whole class ended up learning the lyrics and singing the songs. And oh my gosh, I can feel the waves of shame coming up through me now, just remembering that experience. The feeling of being on the spot like that and everybody singing my songs. The thing I really remember about that scenario, though, was the bitchiness of the other parents. Things like, why does Claire get to have such a starring role? Why are we singing her songs? Who does she think she is writing songs for the whole class to sing along to, the whole class to perform to? Honestly, I feel waves of shame even remembering that. And I'd buried it. I'd completely forgotten it until the conversation this morning. But what it did, it instilled a belief in me that it was not safe to be visible, that being in the limelight feels horrible, that people aren't glad for you, that people don't celebrate your success, you know, as small circle as it was playing a song in leavers assembly, they don't celebrate with you when you have a success, that you actually lose friends from being thrust forward into the limelight. And I have never written another song. I tell people that I'm not musical, that I have no idea where my kids get their musical talent from. And, you know, let's be clear, they are actually fairly musically talented. I was not. Now, I'm not saying that I was good. Far from it. They were cringeworthy 90s embarrassing songs. But who knows? Who knows where it could have gone? What could have led to, what creativity could have been unleashed if I hadn't quashed that part of me? Another example from a client. Now, this client, she loved art at school, especially sculpture. She was really talented, really good. You know, she was the kind of kid that hung out at the art classrooms at lunchtime and just kind of was always tinkering with a project and always had something on the go. Teacher loved her. But her parents dissuaded her from following her passion, you know, from really going all in on the art thing, because they were a legal family. They were a family of solicitors. They all practiced law. They wanted her to have the security and the credibility of a stable income and a professional qualification and career. And she is now working with me because she feels disconnected. She feels like there's something missing from her career and from her life, and she feels disconnected and dissatisfied, literally bored to tears by the legal practice, the company that she's built and created, but is really, really struggling to break free from that paradigm of who the hell am I to make a living from what I love. Another client, she was so passionate about psychology when she was at school. She had high hopes and dreams from a career in psychology. I think it was probably from Scully in the X-Files. That's the age that I am. She wanted to be a psychologist, helping people recover from trauma and go on to lead fulfilling lives. She was intelligent. She was studious. You know, she could have made it. She could have gone far with it. But what happened was she expressed a desire to study psychology at university and was warned off pursuing this career by her tutor and by her parents. Things like, it's very competitive. Do you realize how competitive it is? How hard to get a placement? There are so many people that want to study psychology. There was a lot of competition for good places. Now, she has gone on to have a very successful, by all accounts, HR consultancy. So it's kind of aligned. It's kind of in a similar field. It's not psychology, but it's still helping people fulfill their potential at work. But there is a large part of her that feels, what if? And at the moment, we are working through that ripple effect of allowing herself to be dissuaded. She wishes so much she could tell her 18-year-old self, yeah, it may be competitive, but you are clever enough to make this happen, or you are passionate enough about this career path just to give it a shot, just to throw your hat in the arena and just to try. You will never know what you are capable of if you just follow your passions in your heart. So many of us are still being ruled by our 18-year-old, by our adolescent selves. And this is a key stage in our development of our unique lens through which we make sense of and live our lives, what I call the origin story paradigm. Now, we've got a first stage, and this is the embedding stage. This is the formation stage between the ages of 5 and 7. That's when our origin story starts. But the stage we are talking about today, and this is the next important stage, is adolescence. So from sort of 11, 12 up to 18, because this is when we are becoming acutely aware of our self-image, and everything is done by committee. All decisions are made by committee, by what is acceptable. What's so-and-so wearing? Do I have the right shoes? Do I have the right coat? Is what I'm doing acceptable? Does my face fit in this room? If I do that thing, is it going to be social suicide? Even do my choices, do they fit with my family story, like going to university, like choosing a certain career? Do they fit the narrative? And I'm really interested in birth order, by the way. Do they fit the narrative of the story that I was assigned at birth? Am I saying the right thing? Do I like the right music? Am I snogging the right people? Even stuff like being a rebel, having blue hair or ripped tights, or whatever the kids are doing these days, is still a choice against what is deemed acceptable. Now, I have a 14-year-old daughter. She has got her head screwed on pretty well, by all accounts, much better than I did at that age. You know, she stays out of drama. her friend drama. She's able to stand up to her friends and might make the right choice for her. But I still see the pressure that she is under, you know, the constant notifications, the Snapchats, the pull towards so-and-so doesn't like so-and-so anymore. What do you think of this? And oh gosh, all that stuff, picking a side, all that stuff. Now, as I say, she has got her head screwed on much better than I did. And I still feel under pressure to make the right choices for her, making sure she's got the right trainers. Do I buy the 150 quid Nike Airs? And yes, I do. The North Face coat, you know, whatever it is that is in vogue at the moment. Has she got the right piercings? It's confronting having a 14-year-old daughter because it brings up all my shit. It really, really is confronting. Geez, you know, you should have seen the look I got on Monday morning when I suggested very gently that she take an umbrella to school. It was like I suggested that she go in naked or something. And as fully formed professional adults, the person we were at 18, the adolescent we were, it can pop up all the time, especially when we are running a business, because we are constantly out of our comfort zone, right? We are constantly taking risks and backing ourselves and making big decisions that are scary and bring up all our stuff. It is the perfect breeding ground for imposter syndrome. Things like, who the hell am I to pull this off? Can I really pull this off? Nobody in my industry does it like that. I'm the first one doing it like this. I'm going to screw it up and look stupid. I'm going to be get found out. All my competitors are doing it properly. I'm a fraud. I've got no business running a business. All that stuff. Now, there are really important evolutionary and societal reasons for feeling like this. Being acceptable, sticking to the tried and tested paths, the familiar, it meant safety back in caveman times. It meant being acceptable. It meant being part of the tribe. And it meant you were safe, that belonging. It meant you were safe from not being eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. Because doing something different, it meant being ostracized and being kicked out of the tribe and probably certain death. And so, of course, these days we don't have saber-toothed tigers, but we have, we call them paper tigers, because your mind cannot distinguish between a real and a perceived threat. It reacts in exactly the same way. Enter the imposter syndrome. If you are doing your job as an imposter syndrome, if you are doing your job as an entrepreneur, you are going to feel imposter syndrome, because by its very nature, you are out of your comfort zone. But if you carry on blithely, if you don't do the work to understand and be aware of transmute those patterns, that 18-year-old, that adolescent is going to keep on running the show. And every time you do something outside your comfort zone, those old 18-year-old worries are going to pop up to try and get you back in your comfort zone, the known and the familiar, even if it's not serving you, even if it is stopping you from achieving those dreams you have with your business. And you are only going to achieve success to the confines, to the limits of what your 18-year-old self believes is possible. So what would I say to my 18-year-old self? Well, two things. First thing is strong back, soft front, wild heart. That's from Brené Brown, and I love it. And the other one is, life is tough, but so are you. Absolutely go for it. Now, I have been helping women with imposter syndrome since 2007, and I have created a free guide. It's a free guide of 5 strategies to help you break free of your imposter syndrome as a female entrepreneur. I have helped literally hundreds of women today to do this. And I have selected a few of my favorite strategies that I know are really impactful, really, really quickly to help you break free of your imposter syndrome. And I have put them in this free guide. So if today's conversation has resonated, if you are sick of imposter syndrome running the show and you recognize that you have been maybe playing a little bit small, if you don't want to settle, and if you want to make your 18-year-old self proud of everything that you have achieved, get your hands on my free guide. Send me a message or just comment below, break free, and I will send you a copy totally free as my gift to you. So there we have it. That's all for today. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening. In case nobody's told you today, you're awesome. See you next time.